He grew up on the south side of Houston, but now calls Summerlin, Nevada home. The only sports handicapper in the country to go a documented 14-0 against the spread in the NFL playoffs. With over two decades of experience, he's the go-to sports bettor expert in Houston. He's live from Vegas, but his heart is always in H-Town. The premier wagering consultant in the country. Your favorite sports bettor's favorite sports bettor. This is The Wagering World with 5-Star in Vegas. Presented by MyBookie.ag, America's most trusted sports book.
What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy 5-Star in Vegas, broadcasting live from Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is always in H-Town, Texas. This is The Wagering World, powered by MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with my bookie. You know, I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. I call him the boy wonder, sports betting, my brother from another, the super producer of this show, the only man I ever known to drop a light 40 on two imported spider monkeys, Casino Royale.
Wah! What's good, 5-Star? What's up, Wagering World? Whew, 5. Crazy week last week in the NFL on the wild card.
Ridiculous.
We got some Aussie hoping. I've been seeing you on fire on Twitter or them overnight plays, man. You've been blessing the people. You've been blessing them. But your NFL last week, Christ.
Yeah, we went
some upsets, man. You was calling the money lines and everything. Kind of excited to get into this show, man. What we got?
Man, we went up last weekend. Like you said, we'll get to it shortly. In the past, a lot going on as always in the sports world. 8 cities left playing football in the NFL. See, you know, one of them is H-Town, Texas. How about the turnaround by the Texans, man? This is one of the stories that I tweeted out that one day, maybe I'll be the one. You know, I do write scripts. You know, that my passion is movies. You know, I have a couple films on Tubi. But maybe one day I could write a script for Hannah McNair. And we're going to put Julia Roberts playing her and name it The Woman That Saved Houston Football, because, bro, it's the greatest turnaround I've seen in a long time. I can't think of last to first, a brand growth like that, a brand turnaround so quick. And then they're going to bring the new jerseys next year to Houston. CJ Stroud is quickly becoming the face of the NFL. Big game for him this week. This is his chance against probably the MVP of the NFL, and Lamar Jackson. Can CJ Stroud have enough bullets in his arsenal, you know, enough bullets in his holster to keep shooting with that potent Ravens offense? And can he, first of all, can his offensive line block up enough? We'll talk about that a little bit later when Spread comes on and we break down the NFL. Also, news is coming out that Belichick might be heading to the Falcons. As a Saints fan, I don't like that. Jesse Bates is a hell of a safety. I think that him and Belichick teaming up together would be a really formidable defense. Now, what do you do about quarterback? But they got a lot of young talent on that Atlanta team. Wide receiver London Drake is a beast. Bijan Robinson is a beast. Kyle Pitts, and I guarantee you, coming from having a system that used Gronkowski, used the late Aaron Hernandez, I think that he'll know how to utilize that tight end in Atlanta. So if we get Belichick to Atlanta, which has been heating up lately, I think that it doesn't sound correct, especially after the 28-3, but it is correct.
Hey, 5-Star, that's one of your talents a lot of people really don't know about. Like, you know, they so used to seeing you shine up in the sports betting world and seeing you critique those games and you giving out that type of knowledge. But, man, they don't know how bad you cut up with that pen on the big screen.
I love it.
Don't get it messed up. Nah, I'm talking about any type of movie, man. The guy brain is, I don't know, it's just always on the go.
Appreciate that.
But, 5-Star, you was saying Bill Belichick to Atlanta. Oh, my God. Hey, I know our boy Dame the Gambling Guy would love that. He would definitely love that, yeah. Hey, the only thing I feel bad for is our Saints, man. Oh, that division right there. Belichick, he'll give him hell, man. He'll definitely give him hell.
Yes, he would. Yeah, Dame would like that a lot. He's a favorite coach of all time, getting with his hometown Falcons. Even though he's more of a Patriots guy, I'm sure he would follow Belichick to the Falcons. You were talking Australian Open. It has been a wild week down under. You could tell that this, you know, tennis is weird. It's just like NASCAR. They're the only sports that have like some of their biggest events as the first event of the season. It'd be just like if the NFL came out in the first game of the year, guys coming, you know, from the offseason, and hey, you guys are playing for the NFC Championship the first week, whoever wins this game. But that's what goes on with the Australian Open. It's one of the four majors, and you could tell a lot of these favorites, man, they didn't really work that hard this offseason, or maybe they had a good time, you know, enjoying their fruits from the winning of the prior season. But it's been some crazy upsets. Last night, Holger Rune goes down to Kazar, a kid from France that had no business beating him, and we had so many upsets. If you bet the dogs on the women's side, all the dogs that were over plus 400, man, you're rich right now. You could have started with $100 and you're gonna be probably around $500,000. Last night alone, night before last, excuse me, alone, we had Clara Burrell upsets Pagulia. She beats Pagulia, man, and she was plus 600, I want to say. Then we have Blinkova upset Rybakina. She maybe was plus 10 to 1 or something like that, 1,000 last night. We have my girls, I call her big game Sloan, Spread Nose, and Noobs. They know I bet Sloan Stevens every year in final, in majors, because she's going to always find a way to get to the second week, man. She loves her money. She's big money Sloan. She has her coach back, Kamar, and now they're looking to make some noise. And the field is really clearing up for her and for Coco with all these big names going in. And of course, for Swiatek, who survives last night against Danielle Collins, the American. Man, I don't know. This one is really crazy. Then we got my girl. She's finally came back. I was talking so much about Alicia Parks. Put me on her. Maybe 2 years ago, she went on a run. She was serving crazy, and she tore up the European indoor circuit. And on the 250 level, and I was like, this girl has a chance to, you know, win in a major. Last year, she enjoyed her money, had a good time. Hey, she's a pretty shapely, good-looking girl, so I'm sure she's not having no issues in Atlanta and Florida where she runs around at finding boyfriends. So she got a little caught up, I think, probably with that, man. Beautiful girl. And now she's back, you know, playing the type of tennis that I thought that she would play. Alicia Parks, man, can play. She has the best serve when it's on in women's tennis. When it's on the level of Venus and Serena serve. Man, I mean, Lala Fernandez couldn't do anything against her. I believe she went off the board. Alicia Parks went off at like a plus 400. So as I tweeted earlier, hey, it's a new regime coming in this ladies' tennis. Look for the dog. Search for the dog. Look for the young girls. The young girls are on fire. Watch for them, man. Andreeva. Andreeva could win it all. She's been hot like that. She's looking good. Bet the dogs is value in it. I will definitely be playing Alicia Parks against Coco Gauff Moneyline. I can always catch back up and go live and bet that match. But you'll never get the value that you're going to get before. And it's a lot of upsets that are happening down under.
5 stars, upsets everywhere, even on the men's side. Like, I'm seeing men dropping sets to people they shouldn't even drop a set to. Carlos Alcaraz, crazy, man, my boy Big Loso. He dropped a set to him like, what are you doing, bro? Like, but of course, he stepped back up and he came and won the match. But man, I heard you mention that Blinkova and Rybakina match. 5 star. That was crazy as hell. Can't, I'm not even lying. That. I was sweating that. I lost that because I had Rybakina. I definitely thought she would win that, bring it home. But if you go back and look at the head-to-head, Rybakina never won against Blinkova. And now they went to that tiebreak. It was so intense, bro. So intense. You know how much back and forth that was? It's like, it's going back and forth.
Right.
Blinkova holds on. 5 star. I definitely thought you would have had that Blinkova somewhere. But you asleep? You was up? What you was doing? You didn't say nothing about it. You didn't say you. Hey, where you was at?
I was asleep. You hit it on the nail. These kids, man. These kids have me up at 6 a.m. and I got to get back on the tennis schedule for when they're overseas like that, because we're on a different clock, man. And I'm missing a lot of late matches. I actually had a 7-leg parlay going a couple days ago to Blinkova ruined when she beat Buska. And that was the latest match I've stayed up for. I think that one was about 1 a.m. as well, man, and I went right to sleep and I paid for it the next day. But I haven't been up on the late night ones. I try to cut off my schedule. You know, they're starting usually about 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I try to play the schedule till about 10 p.m. After that, man, I got to go. I got to get to bed. But I hate I missed that. You pointed out a great point when you said that she had never beaten Blinkova. I didn't realize that Rybakina had never beaten Blinkova, but that's something to always take account when you're handicapping these matches, especially if you're getting a big dog and they've had prior success against the lady that they're playing. And they're also countrymen, even though we know that Rybakina represents another country. She's really Russian. You know, she's really a Russian woman and grew up in Moscow. And I'm sure that her and Blinkova played against each other all through youth tennis and in the same camps and stuff. I was on a couple dogs though that came through, and that was Ocean Doden, big server. When her game's right, she just was gonna blow Trevisan off the court, and she did. And also I was on Sloan Stephens. As we said, head to head makes a difference in these matchups, and she had controlled Kostyukina every time she's played her, she's beating her. Then as you said, late night, it got crazy, man, and I hate that I missed it, because from what it just sounds like, it was a ridiculous match. Literally all the matches that were overnight went to three sets. You had Galbic beating Sinakova. I called that one, but I had it on a parlay, so I didn't benefit from it. That's why you don't parlay, guys. I didn't have it on a straight, and I missed, what was Galbic, maybe plus 200 or something like that. You said Miss Blinkova, Yastrzemski, I expected her to win against Krejcikova. She's picked her game up. She's looking good right now. I guess she's getting over the model life and being a pop star and starting to want to play tennis again. Ostapenko, Big Pinko comes through. Ostapenko, I can't even call her Big Pinko no more. She's back fit, looking like her old self again. She's looking good. Got a good designer making her tennis clothes now. Last year, she had kind of lost a little bit, but she's got a boyfriend, and Ostapenko's back looking like one of the stars of tennis. I've always loved watching her matches. She's so entertaining. She won against the Australian, and then we had Azarenka go three sets with Young Tossin, man, was able to survive. Vika has won the Australian Open, I want to say, two times before. We got a good schedule coming up, man. A lot of more matches to talk about. We'll hit the Australian Open a little bit more when we get to the future. Hey, man, like you said, we had a pretty good weekend on the first round, the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Hey, let's jump into 1965 Lincoln with the suicide doors, man, that big Continental, and take a trip to the past. All
right, five star, let's do it. Hey, let's get into the Bills game real fast. We ain't have no official play on that. Minus 10 versus Pittsburgh. Kind of like what I'm seeing from Josh Allen right now, man, making big plays. I think he broke team history with that rushing touchdown he had. He made a lot of explosive plays in that game. I thought Pitt would cover the 10. I kind of lean that way. Josh Allen and the team stepped up against that tough Pittsburgh D. They look like they could be some Super Bowl contenders, five star.
Man, I got some really bad information on that game late. Ended up playing it for a pretty good size with the Supreme clientele, man, who took a lumping. It all started with how they began the game. The Steelers turned the ball over too much early. They didn't come in prepared. And that's all on Coach Mike Tomlin, man. You know, Tomlin gets a lot of passes, and I'm one of the first that always says I'm a Tomlin truther. But, hey, man, he has to look himself in the mirror for this one. I don't know why his team is giving up 14 points in the first quarter. I don't know why they're having to fight back all of these games that they play now, second half. I know they got bad quarterbacking, but they've had the best quarterback they had in a while for Mason Rudolph. They got a really good roster, man. They got two really good running backs. They got two really good receivers, a good slot guy. The offensive line is always going to be good. So we'll see moving forward whether Mike Tomlin can, you know, adjust to life without Big Ben. He hasn't had much success in the playoffs without Ben Roethlisberger. So let's see if they can find the quarterback. He said something in the press yesterday when they announced that he was coming back for another year, that they was going to be competition with Kenny Pickett. Competition, it seems like replacement would be the better move for him on that. The Steelers cannot waste this window, this opportunity that they have. T.J. Watt is really good. He's in his prime. Minkah Fitzpatrick is in his prime. But both of them on the back end of their prime. That's what I always heard. But that offense has a chance to be potent. If they can keep George Pickett happy, they can keep Deontay Johnson happy, man. That offense can put up some points with the right trigger, man. So moving forward, let's see in the offseason if Mike Tomlin can update the offense. He said he's going outside the organization for the first time to get a coordinator. So maybe they can change things around and get an offense that can match that incredible defense that he has yearly. And as far as Buffalo, hey, man, they're in driver's seat right now in a great position. They never had a chance to host KC in the playoffs. Now they got KC coming to Orchard Park. They're going to be having the snowball fight. The Bills fans are going to be jumping in the air and on tables, breaking them. So we'll see if Pat Mahomes can play as well on the road as he has at home in the playoffs. I'm very, very interested. That's the marquee matchup of the weekend.
Man, we was on the wrong side on the Dolphins. Plus 4.5 at the Chiefs. Man, I don't know how we buckled Patty Mahomes and Andy Reid. It was just too cold for Miami. Tua could get the ball off. Tyreek Hill, he was missing screen catches that he usually always gets. That was a tough game for them. And like I said, I definitely thought the weather was a factor.
Yeah, it definitely was a factor. Bad beat, bad break, bad handicap. One of the few times this was a bad handicap by me, and I knew it after the first drive. When I saw Kansas City go up and down the field on that first drive, and I saw Rashee Rice really look like a number one, I said they're in trouble. Because what's been happening is Mahomes been playing his game this year. He isn't, even though his numbers don't look as good as they have in the past, I've watched the games. Mahomes hasn't lost anything. He's playing ball the same way. The difference is his receivers cannot catch. They don't catch the ball, but he's starting to trust Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice has a really chance to be a star in this league. He has the size. He has the speed. Came out of SMU. I was high on him coming out of SMU, man. He landed in the perfect system. He's a rookie, so he's just getting his feet kind of grounded to playing in the NFL. But he has a real chance for superstardom as long as he's attached to Patrick Mahomes. Man, Miami did not come to play. The supreme clientele and I got banged on this one. We took the 4.5. Miami didn't do anything. The thing that we did catch, though, is we had Tyreek Hill under 82 yards. And, boy, when he caught that 53-yard pass in the second quarter, I thought we weren't going to win it. We ended up cashing all our props on this game. No, we ended up cashing under 212, I believe it was, for Tua Tagovailoa on passing yards. We ended up cashing under 82 yards, receiving yards on Tyreek, as I said. And we also cashed David Long to have over 6.5 tackles, to have 7 tackles, and he had 7 tackles. But besides that, oh, and we were wrong on Raheem Mostert. We had Mostert to score a touchdown. I was surprised he didn't. He was hurt, but Miami never got into their stuff. It was a really disappointing performance. What is Mike McDaniel doing in the offseason? Do you continue to roll with Tua? Just think about this. If Miami wins that game that they had the lead in the second half against Buffalo, everything's different. This week, they're at home hosting a playoff game. Last week, they would have had an easy playoff game with Pittsburgh coming there to build confidence. If they're going to keep Tua, the path for Miami is to take the regular season serious. They have to be one of those teams that try to be lights out and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs in order to get to the Super Bowl. They're just not built for the cold. Their style of play, the players that they have are built for where they're at. In Miami, sleek, fast, sunshine, fun times, beautiful uniforms. But when you take that to the cold, it just does not work. And in the American Football Conference, every team that they're going to face in the playoffs are in cold environments, man. So they have to win in the regular season in order to have a real shot at making the Super Bowl in Miami, I believe. Then looking forward with this Kansas City Chiefs team. Like I said, it's the game of the year. They go to Buffalo. A lot of people are going to say this might be the AFC Championship game. Pat Mahomes' first road game. That's amazing. His first road game after all these years in the league of dominance. It's been pretty much the Kansas City Chiefs Invitational, where every game had to go through Kansas City, but things have changed this year. But one thing that Mahomes can rest his hat on is he's had a lot of success on the road through the years in his division. So I'm very excited about that game moving forward.
Alright, I don't know what we was thinking on this one, because all over the show we were screaming, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay. Then we got on X and was like, Philly, Philly, Philly. And to be honest, I think we was thinking the same thing, 5-star. Philly wins the game. Tampa Bay definitely covers the 3, but it didn't go like that. Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, that whole team, man, they just disappeared. It's crazy. Like, he took that team to the Super Bowl last year. They had an amazing first half in the regular season. And after week 10, I don't know what the hell happened to that team. They just disappeared. And if you remember, I was kind of high on those guys at the beginning of the season. They did exactly what you said they would do of getting five-star. He was right.
Yeah, man, I was never high on the Eagles this season, but I didn't expect them to go out like this. That's why I took the money line, even though we had already said that we were taking the three, and I'm sure my clients was upset with me after listening to the show and me still telling them to take the Eagles money line and splitting the game instead of just rolling with Tampa Bay plus three. Tampa Bay just beat them mercilessly from the beginning of the game to the end. They won the first half, second half the game. It was never in doubt. It was never close. Jalen Hurts is hurt. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's injured, and it's showing. Just to show you how the media works and the press works, did you see that about Dallas Goedert when they were showing Dallas Goedert on the sideline supposedly undressing Jalen Hurts or talking bad to him? Now, any other player, specifically one with a darker skin complexion, if they were talking to their quarterback like that, the only thing the press would be talking about is how they're not a team guy, what are they doing? We've seen this a million times with Dez Bryant. We've seen this with Terrell Owens. We've seen this with so many brothers who play receiver or tight end. If they're saying anything to the quarterback, they're a horrible teammate. But now when you got this kid from South Dakota talking to the brother who's the quarterback, now is, oh, he's undressing him. Go Dallas. Go Dallas. It's a really weird world. And I always talk about innate bias, man. I try not to stay on there, but I'm going to say something that my guy Curtis Goon always says. And he says, dear white people, it is a such thing as racism, even though you don't think it exists. And dear black people, even though racism exists, nobody cares. So deal with it and don't look for any handouts or look for anything to go your way. So I try to approach it like that, but that really kind of ticked me off with the way the media kind of handled that. Jalen Hurts is a stand-up dude, a good guy. And he should be applauded for being able to keep his, reserves about himself and allowing his receivers like A.J. Brown to talk crazy to him and not Dallas Goedert and still remaining a guy who's going to be calm and see the big picture thing. Man, this man is worth $30 million a year. He has all types of different deals in line. He's a great leader on that team. He's been hurt. He missed some plays. But, man, he just went to the Super Bowl and was the best player in the NFL last season. Like, for them to be disrespectful as they are, I've been saying it all this time on X. If I'm a coach, even if they fire Nick Sirianni, and I'm not a big Nick Sirianni guy, I think he's a frat boy. I think sometimes he talks too much, you know. As a coach, he shouldn't move like that. And that kind of passes down to your team, because you know how I am. I always believe that a coach is always going to be the team is going to be a microcosm of the coach. They're going to take on his personality and his way of thinking and the way that he moves. And Sirianni is kind of a little jerk, man. And he wasn't prepared for success. He handled success all wrong. And I just think that that kind of passed down to the team. But even with that said, I wouldn't fire him. That sets up a horrible precedent for the National Football League. If a coach is coming out winning a Super Bowl, he loses his two assistants because they're so good that they go get other jobs, and both of his assistants have been really successful. As you see Steichen in Indianapolis, they get to the playoffs, and then you see in Arizona, if he didn't have quarterback issues, if Kyler Murray would have played there the whole season, I believe Arizona would have made a lot more noise than they did. So he loses two really good coordinators in Gannon, that's now in Arizona, and Steichen is now in Indianapolis, and you see the success that they're having. Give the guy a chance to rehire. He made some bad hires. Brian Johnson is a good friend of Jalen Hurts, but he's going to have to cut the cord with him, let him go. He wasn't ready for this moment. They have to evolve that Eagles offense the way that the Ravens did and go hire someone like Todd Monken, who's going to allow Jalen Hurts to be a quarterback. He can always use his skills of running and eluding defenders from the pocket and just on, you know, second reaction plays. Let him play quarterback like they let Lamar play this year, and I guarantee that the Eagles will be right back in it. But far as a fan base, the Eagles suck. Man, I don't know what makes this fan base feel so entitled, because they won one Super Bowl. Like, they won one Super Bowl through their whole franchise history, And these guys are acting like it's Super Bowl or bust every year, and I just don't think there's a good precedent. I think that's why they have some really high highs in Philadelphia with those teams and some really low lows. Looking at Tampa Bay moving forward, you know, I'm high on them. I'm not the biggest Baker fan, but he still was the number one draft pick for a reason, and more than just being cocky and being loved by the GMs, which is the main reasons. He can't throw the ball, he can't spin it, and his team does rally for him. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show as he heads to Detroit with his Buccaneers to try to pull an upset in the division round.
How about them Cowboys? Another team that I was on at the beginning of the season. Gave out a lot of value on them, man. I thought they would definitely win the Super Bowl, but Cowboys did what the Cowboys do. What the Cowboys does. They did what they did. They sucked whenever it was time to shine. Dak, I don't know what the hell he was going through. I think it might be time to shake that team up, man. Jerry Jones, he believes in my boy Dak Prescott a lot. I do too, but it's not working. It's not working, and it's broken. It definitely needs to be fixed. And we rode with Joy Love, though, in that game. Plus 7.5. We loved it. 5-star. Like I said, you've been on Joy Love for quite some time. You put me on this kid. I'm finally starting to see what you see. Plus 7.5. I knew that was too much to give a professional NFL team against the Cowboys. I don't give a damn what they were playing. They could be playing on the moon. It don't matter. Cowboys, they suck. They're not the team I thought they were. Every year it's the same results. I think I'm going to fade to begin next year. Whenever they hit the postseason, just keep following the pattern. 5-star, how you came up with the plus 7.5? That should be easy.
Man, I told you. Man, when it comes to the Packers against the Cowboys, it's a lot of confidence. 9-1, Matt LaFleur looks over that sideline, and what he sees is a guy that he thinks is a coach that he can run circles around. He doesn't think that he can keep up with him schematically, and he showed it again. Matt LaFleur had Jordan Love completely prepared for this. It's beautiful what we're seeing out this kid, man. Do you know that Jordan Love, in his last 9 games, has 21 touchdowns and 1 interception? Man, Jordan Love has been lights out. Him and C.J. Stroud are the future of the league. Everyone's looking for a quarterback like those two guys, man. And I got the receipts stacked up. As you said, I've been slowly reissuing them, sending them out on X and letting people know that, man, I've been on Jordan Love since last year. I told you guys that he was bring a whole new dynamic to this offense, that he was much more coachable than Aaron Rodgers, that he was going to benefit from Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is one of the best play designers and play callers in the NFL, and a lot of times he was sabotaged by Aaron Rodgers with his arrogance and thinking he knows better, and he really plays off schedule. Really, Aaron Rodgers is a second reaction player. If you look at his career, he hasn't made a lot of big plays from the pocket. Most of his plays have been second reaction where he rolls out and you know, he catches a receiver on on the move. But I knew that Jordan Love would take on to this offense, but then he also added the element of having legs. He can run. He's a good leader, strong. The kid's been through a lot as a kid, so I knew that he was going to be mentally tough. Just an excellent job. 16-21 for him, 272 and 3 touchdowns. He didn't even play the fourth quarter. How amazing is that? The two kids, Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, both sit out the entire fourth quarter because they have such a comfortable lead. Green Bay matched to a 27-0 lead early. Dax, 41 out of 60, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, but those 2 interceptions really hurt. The turnovers hurt. As usual, he doesn't do anything when it matters. Those are all garbage time numbers that Dak put up. That's why Lamar Jackson, the MVP for me. As we move to the offseason, I think the Cowboys probably signed Derrick Henry. They need some form of running game. They can't allow Dak to keep going out there throwing it 60 times. We know they're not moving off Dak because he's a sweetheart of Jerry Jones. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bring Ezekiel Elliott back at a lower price. I guarantee you that's probably going to be a move we're going to see, because Ezekiel Elliott was with the Patriots. Belichick's gone now. He was playing really good during the season. He was really kind of quietly had a good season. He just didn't have enough opportunities. I guarantee you that the Cowboys look to bring him back at a good price, but I also think they try to make a move for a big back like Derrick Henry. Henry has said that he is not ready to retire. He has his mind on Super Bowl, and a motivated Derrick Henry with doubters when you've always been the best football player on the field since you were 6 years old, I think that he's the guy to spend a little money on. It's a lot of teams that are going to want to look at Derrick Henry. I don't really like spending on running backs, but he's one of those guys that's actually a game changer for you with the way that he can convert in short yardage and put up 6 points for you. Green Bay travels to San Francisco, another place that Matt LaFleur has had a lot of success. This game is bigger than just the guys that are playing on the field. It's two guys who are really rivals, good friends, who both think that they're smarter than the other. And that's between, Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur. And I think that Matt LaFleur has some tricks up his sleeves for the Niners. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
And the Lions came through again up in Michigan. Man, the Rams, they put up a fight. They couldn't hold through, though, man. Jared Goff, they looking real good. I think they might have some problems next week, though.
Oh, yeah. The Detroit, they're at home, so that's a good thing. But they survived this game. Defense really stepped up for them. It looked like this game was going to be a shootout in the first half, as both offenses were going crazy. And then the second half, man, the defenses for both teams took over. Most of the pass rush for the Lions, Aiden Hutchinson is still a really good player, man, and he's made a huge difference on that defense. We see if they can contain the Bucs next week, because we know the Lions do struggle in the defensive backfield. Puka Nacua for the Rams is amazing. If it wasn't for C.J. Stroud, he'd be the Rookie of the Year. I remember Nacua. He has a brother as well. He used to play at BYU, and Zach Wilson should send half of his rookie check to him, because that's what got him drafted. Puka Nacua was unguardable. You couldn't cover him back when he was playing in, I think it was the Mountain West with BYU. I don't know if BYU's independent still or not. I can't remember. But they played in all of the teams in that area. But they also traveled and played a lot of different teams. So I don't think they were in the Mountain West. I think they were independent at that time. But still, Puka Nacua was fabulous, man. I remember BYU was laying double digits a lot of games, and Zach Wilson would just run around and throw it up for him, and Puka Nacua would snatch it from someone to make a big play, or he'd catch a screen or catch a dig and take it to the house. So he's been balling. I didn't know it was going to translate to the NFL as easy as it did. Does Cooper Kupp stay around? He doesn't look like the focal point of that offense anymore. We've seen how Sean McVay did Jared Goff. He'll forget about you quick. He'll turn the page quick. So does he open up more money to solidify that defense and get up off of Cooper Kupp and make it all about Puka Nacua? We'll see. I know that's his homie. I know he's really tight with Cooper Kupp. Remember, we used to say he was living vicariously through him, because he used to be a little receiver himself, and so he used to call every play he could to make sure that Cooper Kupp was all pro, because he was thinking that he was playing Madden and being himself when he played receiver. But he settled down a lot. McVay's a good coach. Matt Stafford, do they get up off that contract and look to go somewhere else? Matt Stafford can still spin, as we saw in that game. He hit a couple no looks. He's always been a magician with the ball. He's getting older in age now. As he goes to Detroit, a really familiar place where he has a lot of love from that ownership group. I couldn't believe that the fans booed him. That was weird. His wife was complaining and crying about them booing the kids, but what do you expect? You know, Detroit is right under Philly as being one of those rowdy fan groups. I say Boston, Detroit, Chicago, and Philly. They're one of those places you don't really want to go to their stadiums. So with that said, we move forward in the offseason. What do the Rams do? They have to tighten up that defense to go around Aaron Donald. Is Aaron Donald even there after next year? They're in a really weird position. Do the Rams try to re-add and try to shoot at another Super Bowl, or do they go with the youth movement? And then, as you said, we have Detroit hosting Tampa, and that's going to be a big one this week.
Hey, and it's only right I say the best game for last. That man, C.J. Stroud, I got me.
Lights out.
Oh, my God. At the half, the game was over. To be honest, the game was over before it even started, because Five Star said Texas money line. Joe Flacco and the Browns look nothing how they did in the regular season. And if the Texans play like this against the Ravens, Five Star, they have a chance.
Indeed they do. And, hey, what's the thing that I kept preaching on 97.5 ESPN in Houston on our show? The Browns defense is not as good as the numbers say. They played some weak competition at home. built up a lot of sacks and stuff against a backup offensive lineman and thing. But when they traveled, they had the worst defense in the league, and it all came to fruition. This game was just magical, man. It was rocking in the stadium. I would have loved to have been at that game, man. Me and my son Ian had a great time. We partied from the beginning to the end on this game because we threw our little mini party, had the big screen on the game, had it, you know, pumped up, little music during the halftime. I made him his favorite snacks, and we really enjoyed this game. I told you, boy, Ian the janky one. When he wanted him to win, it's over. I had to put him on. I had to put him on the Browns. You know, I was like, "Come here, son. This is what our bigger bets of the season." You know, and it worked out being a real layup. Really fun time, man. As my household, everybody had on their Texans gear, man. It was really, really a good time. In the second quarter, when I saw Desmond King blow up Joe Flacco and then do the Booker T on his head, that's what I knew it was gonna be a special day. He did a full Booker T on that boy head, man. I'm talking about windmill cheeks on the helmet, man. And the great thing about that play was he blew up Flacco and the refs did not throw a flag. I said, oh yeah, this is our day. So it worked out really great. One of the funnest, more fun times that I've had watching the game, man. It was never in doubt. And how about Derek Stingley Jr.? Hey, man, Sauce gets a lot of talk and love because he's in New York, but Derek Stingley went before him, and you and I know as native Louisianans who watch LSU every week, Derek Stingley is no joke. And he's been playing against the best, locking down the best guys. Ask Jordan Jefferson and Jamar Chase about Derek Stingley. They played against him every week in practice, and he's showing who he is. He locked down Amari Cooper, followed him around the field. I told you that the Texans were not allowing him to go for 265 again. Great job of putting Derek Stingley on him. Derek Stingley just coming off of being the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Hey, he has a bright future. If we can keep him healthy, man, and people in the fan base were complaining about his injuries. Now they're saying, like, as long as he plays like 10 games a year, we're good. Yeah, man, he's that type of special player. Now the Texans travel into really, really scary territory. They got to go to Baltimore, where early in the year, the world first met C.J. Stroud. He didn't look like the C.J. Stroud we see now, and I think that's going to be a good thing for him because C.J. is a man who only fears God, and I think he's going to be super motivated. If they can give him time, and we've seen Laramie Tunsil play like a number one. That's another one. Let me hit him about him real quick. So, you know, shout out Laramie Tunsil. He was worth the draft picks, and he was worth the money this week because we did not hear anything from Myles Garrett. He locked him down. I always talk to my guy, KG. Shout out KG. KG Joseph. I always talk to him about Laramie Tunsil. He's not a big fan of the how much assets we gave up for him, but I always tell him it's so hard to find a left tackle one, and in these type of games is when they prove their worth, man. So great job by Laramie Tunsil. Great job by the Texans defense. They scored two times in the second half, just really separating. These guys believe in D'Amico. They're going to be flying around in Baltimore if their line can hold up. The Ravens are on upset alert. Cleveland Browns going into the offseason. Deshaun Watson comes back. He has to be highly motivated. I see some really funny pictures of D'Amico kind of giving him the cold shoulder. And then I see him talk to Stroud. You know, him and Stroud have the same agency that represents them athletes first. And they know each other really well. CJ's favorite player, I think, was Deshaun Watson. Him and Michael Vick, that's where his number seven is, Vick. But he talked to him after the game. We see if Deshaun Watson gets motivated. Can he ever get the bad shadow off of him? Can he do like Michael Vick? Michael Vick was able to shed that and have a pretty good career after the dog stuff. Can he get past all of this stuff with his massages and all this weird stuff that he was doing and begin to just play football again? We know he have the right coach over there with Stefanski. But great job by Houston Texans. Houston, you're one of the eight cities left playing football in America. After all that this fan base has been through, it has to feel good. All right, guys, after the break, we're going to talk about this week's big division matchup some more. And, hey, who got the props? Take us out, Cino.
Father first, Reagan Lord second, red stripes on my Adidas because can't nobody check them. Born with no direction, so I carved out my section. You got to live life until just waking up become a blessing. West Side legend. My fighting style Tekken, but I've been in Mortal Kombat, so if the text fly, let him. Gonzalez Park legend, till I had to make my exit. Too many souls lost at the Central and Rosecrans intersection.
All right, we're back in the waging world. As always, it's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. A little gray today, a little chilly. Yeah, the sun tends to go down kind of early on these wintry months in Nevada, man. But still beautiful as could be. A lot of golfers are out today. Anytime you can play golf in January, you know you're in the right spot. I'm in here with the youngest man to ever run a Vegas Strip casino sportsbook, my dog, Casino Royale.
Wow. What's happening, Five? We back at it, huh? You right, man. It is kind of gray outside today. Got me kind of sleepy a little bit, man. No, is it the weather?
Hey, it's legal here, so if you're a little tired, it's all right. You're within the rules. Living in the great state of Nevada, man. Hey, man, Dak Prescott season's over, but yours is just beginning at mybookie.ag. When the real money's on the line, you got to do it with a trusted sports book that gives you tools to win like MyBookie. And MyBookie, it doesn't matter if your team's up or down. Hey, you can cash out during the game. Tuck something for later. You know what I always say, oatmeal always beats no meal. Hey, or fire away the live bet so you can get on the right side. To get started, go to mybookie.ag, and on your first deposit, use my promo code, that's 5STAR, FIVESTAR, spell it out, for a deposit match up to $1,000. That means whatever you deposit, we match it dollar for dollar. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. All right, man, we don't talk too much in the present today. You know, you and Spread and I go through all of the slate. In the final segment, no college football. It's over, man. So, you know what? Let's go revisit one of my favorite segments that we've done throughout the season. Who got the props, you know?
All right, Five Star, let's do it. And, of course, this is not one of our regular things that we do. So, we usually just give out the best props that we believe that is going to hit in the game. So, Five Star, let's go down to Baltimore real quick. They're playing against the Texans, of course. What props you see in this game that possibly could hit?
This has the potential to be a real shootout, man. A lot of opportunities for some props in this one. I'll definitely be riding the hot hand of Nico Collins, man. They got him at a pretty low number. He's over 77 at minus 130. I think he can get to 77 yards for sure. Even in the first game of the season when he and C.J. Stroud didn't nearly have the connection that they have now, he went for 80 yards against his Ravens defense. He's been super duper hot, man. He went for almost 100 yards against Cleveland, having six receptions for 96 yards. He went for 195 yards against the Indianapolis Colts. He went for 80 yards against Tennessee the week before that. As long as C.J. Stroud's pulling the trigger, I expect a lot of big things from Nico Collins. He's used to the cold from being in Michigan in college. And remember, no Tank Dell from a prop point of view is really good for one Nico Collins. So we're going with Nico Collins to have over 77 yards. On the other side of the ball, I'm going to ride old boy from LSU, man. Old former number 33 to turn to number 3, Odell Beckham Jr. They got a pretty low number on him for receptions. His receptions are only at 2.5. I think that Odell can get to 3 receptions. It's a good chance that this game ends up becoming a passing situation with the way that the Texans can put up points on the board. I don't think that they're going to be scared. I think they're going to come out shooting, man, honestly. And it might get into a situation where, you know, they find themselves with the Ravens having to throw the ball, man. And I definitely think that Odell is known for playing really well in bigger games. He's always been a guy who steps up when the moment's biggest. I think that he gets the 3 receptions pretty easily. If you look over the season overall, in the last 5 games or so, he's went over that prop, and I think he continues to do so. So we're going to be on Nico Collins over 77 yards. Ring the bell. We're going to be on Odell Beckham over 2.5 receptions. Ring the alarm.
All right, Five Star. Our boy Jordan Love, he gone down there to San Francisco. Jesus Christ, he gone to Bay Lord. What you see in this game? I hope you don't have nothing on him. I think that he gonna kind of struggle against this defense. Well, let's see what you got.
What if Brock Purdy struggles? See, I'm gonna play along with the narrative and use that narrative that you think against the books, since you're one of the book members. So I'll go with Jordan Love under one interception. You think he's going to struggle? I think he's going to play well. I think he's going to do what he's done over the last nine games and really protect the ball. He's only had one interception the last nine games. So I'm going to book you and the books. I'm going to go with him going under one interception at plus 133. A lot of value in that bet, especially with how well Love has been playing. I think Matt LaFleur protects him and puts him in positions to win. On the other side of the ball, though, I do expect Brock Purdy to throw an interception, and that's another one we can get plus money on. So I'm going to go with Brock Purdy to throw an interception at over a half at even money. Now, that's pretty good right there. I'll take that, especially when he's thrown 11 interceptions on the year. I'm also going to be contrarian on another one. That I'm trying to book the public on these props because I understand the same way that the public runs up these lines, they run up these props the same way. We're going to book Christian McCaffrey. Let's go under 92.5 yards. Rushing, it's really hard to run for 100 yards in the playoffs. This isn't the old school days, and I expect the Green Bay to jump on them early and try to put up points in the first half to make it where the Niners are continuously playing from behind. I think Matt LaFleur is smart enough to do that. With that said, McCaffrey might not get enough work in the rushing game to get to 93 yards, and also we know his injury history, unfortunately. So we'll be under 92.5 yards at minus 111 for McCaffrey. So that's going to be Jordan Love under one interception, under 92.5 yards at minus 111 for McCaffrey. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, five star. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They gone down to Detroit to see the Mighty Lions. What you got in this one?
We're in the dome, unlike the silly reporter that was talking to Coach Todd Bowles, thought that his team was traveling to play outside in Detroit, Michigan, even though before the current Ford Field they're playing, they were in the Silver Dome for about 50 years. So I don't understand how some of these press members get hired. I don't understand how this media stuff works, because a lot of people are in positions where they're there for who they know and who they are instead of what they know and what they are. All right, man, on this one, I really like David Montgomery to go under 13.5 carries at minus 140. The Lions like to throw the ball around, and he's fighting for carries with Jahmyr Gibbs. They do like to use him around the goal line, but we know that Jahmyr Gibbs makes that offense much more explosive. So expecting this type of game, there's going to be some points on that turf inside that dome. I think that David Montgomery kind of gets left out. So we're going to go under 13.5 rushing attempts for David Montgomery for the Detroit Lions. Ring the bell. And then we're going to go with my guy Rashard White. I compared him to Le'Veon Bell. He's a really exciting runner. I think that he's able to pop a run. It seems like he pops one every game. Let's go over 12.5 for his longest rush at minus 114. The last couple games, he's really averaged about 15 yards per game. He's even broken some for 30 yards plus this season. I think he can get one in on the Lions over 12.5 yards. So let's go with Rashard White to pop one run over 12.5 yards. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, and then we got my boy, my homie, Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs. They going out there to Buffalo to play the Bills. Five star, give us some props in this one.
I'm all over Rashee Rice. I told you I'm high on him. Hey, one thing that we know is that when Andy Reid wants to get a player open, he can. He's drawing up some great plays for that kid. Him and Mahomes have a connection. He's had over 10 targets in four of the last eight games. He's easily sailed over his prop total for receiving yards. He had 60, it's at 67.5. He had 130 last game against Miami and 127 the week before when he played with Mahomes against Cincinnati. Hey, I know there's going to be a lot of tension on him, but Buffalo does not have any shutdown cornerbacks. They've had problems on the back end all year. give me Rashee Rice to go over 67.5 yards receiving. Ring the bell. And my final prop for this weekend's action is one that seems like being a hater, but it's just the facts, man. And that's Josh Allen to go over one interception, to have at least one interception, I should say. That's over .5. They have it at a lovely number. It's at -106. I think that he does that easily. If you look at Josh Allen's season, man, he's only went 2 games without throwing an interception. That was last week and about a month ago when they played the Cowboys. He didn't throw an interception because he didn't throw the ball but 15 times. It was a blowout, and they ran James Cook, and it was really bad weather. Any other game this season, Josh Allen has had at least one interception. He leads the league. He has 18 picks. That's why I can't be too high on Buffalo this week like my co-host is. But, hey, Josh Allen to go over .5 interceptions. That means to at least have one, and we're getting a lovely number at it. And I think you should load up on that one because we know that Kansas City defense is tough. They got 2 of the best cornerbacks in the league. Don't be surprised if Snead gets them and catches them slipping once or twice. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, guys. Let's get to a little quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to the future. Jump in the spaceship, ride to the future, and talk a little Australian Open. And hey, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Take us out, Sino.
We got the spread beat. They woke you out your sleep. Your lungs out of reach. Your funds are not delete. They find this shit for the week. Will you rebuild or retreat? I know which ones are weak. Which one will you be? I'm in that SEC 560 with Ricardo seats. The dish changer shuffling through 12 CDs.
All right, we're back. Segment 3 of the Waging World. Hey, man, when your money's on the line, do it with a trusted sportsbook that gives you tools to win like MyBookie.ag. Hey, guys, to get started, go to MyBookie.ag right now. Use my promo code. That's 5STAR, F-I-V-E-S-T-A-R. Once again, spell it out, F-I-V-E-S-T-A-R. Grab a deposit match up to $1,000, guys. Hey, my bookie's giving it away right now. They got all types of promotions, all types of ways to win. And of course, you can always go live. Hey, or if you got a parlay going, do what I do. Cash out. Oatmeal always beats no meal. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Only with mybookie.ag. Still in the waging world. Still in here with C-No. Hey, C-No, we haven't done the future in a while. So why don't we fire up that rocket over there at NASA? Let's go over there to Clear Lake real quick and let's rock it to the future.
All right, 5STAR, let's do it. Let's go right there in Australia, man. Some tennis, the RC Open. Give out some futures for the people, man. It shouldn't be hard to do. I've been kind of on fire, too, calling the future. So I think I'm going to keep it simple, man. I'm going to roll with my boy, like I said, Carlos Alcaraz. I'm going to take him, like the way he's playing. A lot of confidence right now. You know, he didn't want to take any warm-up tournaments before this. He goes straight into it. +260, we got to ride with him. I'll give you guys another one on the men's side. We ride with my boy Alex Dimonor at 25-1. Down there in his hometown. No Nick Kyrgios. I feel, you know, he can hold it down. 5STAR, who you got on the men's side?
All right, man, I like your 2 choices. You know, I'm a big fan of both of those guys. You can never go wrong with Carlito or Dimonor, especially playing down under. All right, man, I'm going to go with Dimitrov. Grigor Dimitrov is at +2,500. He's been really hot. Just won Adelaide. That's Serena Williams, ex-bo. He can really play, man. He's been around the tour for a long time. He's getting back into being one of the top players. And then you can never go wrong with Djokovic. He's a 10-time champion in Australia, defending champion. I mean, when does this man stop? You think that Tom Brady was a GOAT? This is a real GOAT right here, Djokovic, man. So give me Djokovic at even money. You can always come back and hedge all of his plays after you get that even money, because every time he plays, unless he's playing against Carlos, he's going to be a really big number on the other side. Who you like on the women's side, Sino?
This one right here is easy for me, 5STAR. I got to take the repeat, man. We're going to roll with Sabalenka at +350 to win this one again. I don't think Iga could hold her own on these type of courts right here. is a little too much for. I think the only competition Sabs might have is Coco if they run across each other. But other than that, take that plus 350 and watch the repeat.
Yeah, she's really good on fast courts. I've been rolling with Aryna Sabalenka for a really long time. One of my favorite players, great personality, great girl, man. And as you said, she just lost, got embarrassed actually at the U.S. Open against Coco. Don't be surprised if they match back up. I really like Coco Gauff to win the Australian Open. I actually took her last season at the end of the U.S. Open. I told Spread that I think that Coco could pull like the Serena Slam, the Coco Slam, and she could continue from the last year and grab this Australian Open now and have two straight majors under her belt. Fast court. So she has to be careful. She has a really tough match tonight against Alicia Parks. Alicia Parks can serve, so she better be careful. She might go home tonight. Also, I like Ostapenko. That spreads girl, Big Pinko, man. Big Pinko's looking good. She's in shape. She's looking like the lady that she was when she won the French Open. She does have a major. She just won at Adelaide. She's been smoking hot, and these fast courts are perfect for her. In her game, she likes to get you out of the way fast, and I think that Ostapenko is going to have a lot of success. But to hedge that, we're going to take Azarenka at plus 6,000. The two-time champion plays Ostapenko tonight, but Azarenka, bro, has really owned Ostapenko. She has not lost to her. She just beat her a couple weeks ago. Now she's 3-0 lifetime against her. Can Ostapenko overcome her? If she can't, then we're going to roll with Azarenka, and we'll have that plus 6,000 took for the two-time champion. She won back-to-back in 2012 and 2013. So she's very familiar with the hard courts at the Australian Open. And my sleeper is Emma Navarro, an American. She played college tennis, so she got kind of a late start. But, hey, I've been watching Navarro. She can play, man. One of the hardest hitters on the women's tour. She's entering to her prime right now. Has a lot of confidence. Just beat Elise Mertens in the Hobart Championship. So she got a title. Watch Navarro. She's at plus 4,000. She does like to go three sets. That's the one thing about her. Much like Ostapenko, they don't know how to finish their food early. They like to play with their food, and sometimes that can lead to getting upset, like we saw with Rybakina, that she played with her food too much with Blinkova, and Blinkova was able to outlast her in a classic, unbelievable third set, 22-20. So Navarro plus 4,000, Ostapenko plus 1,600, Azarenka plus 6,000, and Coco Gauff plus 300. All right, guys, you know what's up next. After the break, we got our boy in here, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know, for the People segment. We're going to break down every divisional playoff game for you guys. And we're also going to get to the ball and parlay. Send us out, Sino.
I'm on that south side. Southeast to be exact. Just coming out smooth on this track. Trying to represent for whatever who's calling it. Me and my nigga Little Troy killing for this. But then I'm out. And here I go, rolling down the avenue in the hoop, blowing big ears up.
And we're back in the waging world. It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, and always with me is the youngest fella that I ever known. This is a record, actually, right? So, you know, you are the youngest manager ever in the history of Las Vegas sports. But is that true?
As I know of Five Star, I am. I have to do some research and all. And I wasn't even looking forward to, you know, being in that position. I just wanted to get in there to bet and, you know, be around the lines and stuff like that. Learn a little bit more of the game. You're right, get some information. But hey, work ethic speaks for itself, I guess. And you're on the VIP, the supreme clientele with us in the waging world. You see the results.
Man, I promise, job promotions, I always work that way. Remember I told you I had like three jobs maybe my whole life. And one of them that I remember having was like, you remember when they had the storm in Houston and they had the cleanup crews? And man, I used to like have a job where I write the tickets for the garbage guys to pick up the garbage. And I have to make sure that they like didn't have debris in it. Man, I used to write like 10 tickets for him and just dip and spend the whole day at the studio, right? So I'm making money in my studio while I'm getting paid on the clock. And do you know they took me all the way up to being like a district manager? I promise you, man, if you don't put a lot of stock into it and you just come to work, man, things will work out for you. And speaking of that, we got a guy like that on here. He's made some really great rounds at his company as well, the one and only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreaders, there?
Man, I am excited. Divisional round weekend is here. 8 teams are left. I'm ready to break down these games.
Hey, let's get to it, Spread. Let's get right to it. I know you're going to probably start out in Baltimore, right?
That's right. The Baltimore Ravens are -9.5. The total is 43.5. CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans were catching 2.5 last week. The points were unnecessary, as not only did they win 5-star, hey, I wasn't surprised that they won. I took the 2.5, right? I had the Texans in a teaser. I was surprised by the fashion in which they won. They put up a lot of points against a really good defense. This week, however, they're not in the friendly home confines in Houston. They're out in Baltimore. How do you see the young rookie and D'Amico Ryans faring against the hard-nosed Ravens?
I think that this might be a game that we always remember in C.J. Stroud's career. He gets a chance early to do something that a lot of people take a lifetime doing. Let's get some get back. You know, like sometimes it might take a whole season. Sometimes it might take a couple of seasons. He gets a chance to look at a team that's not in his division, you know, for the second time. That really, you know, handled him pretty handily his first time as playing as an NFL quarterback. The first game, he was harassed. He made some mistakes. He didn't look anything like the C.J. Stroud we know now, but he always refers to this game and said that it's the game that got him ready. He talks about how he was so sad after the game and was literally in tears. And Jonathan Greenard picked him up and told him, hey, you know, this is just the beginning. And I think that he's going to be really inspired to give his best effort. I think the books are tripping with the amount of points they're giving up. We've seen the Ravens before. I don't know why no one wants to all, you know, to believe their eyes. Like, we've seen all these stories before with these different franchises. And what we've seen is Lamar does not play his best in the playoffs. I don't know why the Ravens rested him that long. I've never seen him come back and be sharp. He always, when he sets out for this length of time, if you notice at the beginning of the season, he's like that as well. He takes a while to get into rhythm, man. He cannot sit out from gameplay and come back and be sharp. And I don't know why. His athleticism is there, but his ball placement and his passes are off usually when he sits out this long. And with that along, I think that D'Amico Ryans is a really sharp dude on defense. I think he's going to show Baltimore some looks that they didn't see that first game. And I think that Texans defense is able to cause Lamar Jackson to turn over the ball a few times. And that's going to be just enough to keep us within the number. I know that the public's going to be on it, but the Texans and fans of the Texans might as well get used to this. As long as C.J. Stroud's the quarterback there, they're going to be fighting the public the whole time, every time, because the public loves this team, and I love them too. So I'm going to be on the Texans +10.
All right. Seems like everybody's liking the hot young quarterback out of Ohio State. 5-star, you mentioned D'Amico Ryans. Not only was he a huge addition for the Houston Texans, maybe a little bit of a loss here for the San Francisco 49ers. Will that be the weakness that the Packers need? The San Francisco 49ers are laying 9.5. Same situation here, 5-star. Another rested team coming up against a hot team with a young quarterback that's playing well. How do you see the 49ers faring against the Green Bay Packers? The Niners are laying 9.5, total 50.5.
Once again, I'm going to be betting square. I'll be with old Joe Public on this one, man. I like the cheeseheads. We've seen Matt LaFleur have a lot of success coming into San Francisco. This game is not about the teams as much as it's about the head coaches. Matt LaFleur brings his best against Kyle Shanahan. We've seen it over the years. He's one of the few coaches in the league that can keep up with him play calling, play for play. I think he's going to have this young, hot team ready to roll. A lot of people don't understand just how good Jordan Love has been. He's been outshined, of course, by C.J. Stroud, but man, Jordan Love has 21 touchdowns spread and one interception in the past 9 games. That's remarkable. His young receivers and him are tight, and what's crazy, they're all 1-year, 2-year players, and they're playing on this big stage. It was kind of like the same run that Aaron Rodgers had. He was like his second year starting with Jordy Nelson and those guys when they ended up going to the Super Bowl and surprisingly winning it. I'm not saying the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that the 49ers better be careful. You know, Aaron Jones is really good. I think that Brock Purdy is a good player, but I also think that he can be average at times if the right defensive scheme is drawn up and they can force him to throw the ball outside the numbers. We got a wet game. It's supposed to be really wet and rainy all week in the Bay, and it's supposed to rain during the game. I actually think that benefits the Packers more because I've seen Jordan Love put up numbers in inclement weather. I haven't seen Brock Purdy do that. Packers, man, +9.5, and upset alert, man. I'm telling you, be on upset alert here. The Packers can win this game.
Five Star says, take the points on Saturday. Let's move to Sunday and see if you're feeling the same way. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield advance. They defeat the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Wild Card Football to take on the Detroit Lions, who snuck out a win over Sean McVay and the Rams. The Lions advance. Now they're laying 6.5. The total's 48.5. Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, where are you, Five Star?
Hey, man, points, points, points. I'm taking the points in this one. A lot of people forget that Tampa Bay Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl, what, 2-3 years ago? If you look at that defense which led the charge when they won the Super Bowl, all of those players are back. The only person I think missing is Jason Pierre-Paul. The rest of those guys are there. I really like Devin White. I think he's one of the few linebackers that can match wits with quarterbacks, and he puts his team in the right position. I love the cornerback play. Most of all, I like Todd Bowles. You got Todd Bowles, who's a steady NFL veteran. No nonsense, not a lot of emotion. On to the next play, going against Dan Campbell, who's like a rock and roller, who has those guys fired up. So you got emotions against steady. But the one person with emotions on that Tampa Bay team is Baker Mayfield. And guess who Detroit decided to poke this week? Baker Mayfield. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a defensive back for the Lions, pretty much said that he didn't think the Baker existed. He said that the wide receiver core for Tampa Bay was outstanding. They just need a quarterback. He really threw a dig at Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft when he came out. I don't know if he should have been, but obviously scouts seen enough talent in him for him to be in the first round and be the first guy taken. He won the Heisman. He's a gutty guy. He was hurt last week and still performed well. He has some really good weapons on offense, especially outside with Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to be a problem against that leaky Detroit secondary. And then we have the young fella White, the running back, who came out of Arizona State, who I've been on for a long time. I'm glad that this kid is getting a chance to shine in the NFL. Tampa Bay has one of the most underrated running backs in the league. He reminds me of a young Le'Veon Bell. He can catch, he can pass block, he can run the ball, he runs really patient. He's been really effective for that team. I think that they're going to give the Lions all that they want. Don't be surprised if Tampa Bay goes into Detroit and comes out with the win. Give me the points +7 with the Bucs.
All right, Five Stars taking the points once again. The main event of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Their rivalry continues. However, Five Star, this time the game will be played in Buffalo. That's right. It will be Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game of his career. How will he fare outdoors against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
This right here is going to be special. This is one that the NFL has been cooking up for a long time. Seems like the conditions are going to be okay. So that means I'm looking for points to be put up. It's going to be 56 degrees. That's what the forecast is saying. I'm not seeing any snow. I just say it's going to be points. Last week we saw that Pat Mahomes was back in his bag. He's finally found the number one wide receiver in Rashee Rice. He's not going to go out without shooting, man. And then you have Josh Allen. We saw that he could put a team on his back. The difference for me in this game is this. Kansas City has the number one defense in the NFL. I don't know if people know that because, they're so into what Pat Mahomes can do. But they're the number one team against the pass. They're only giving up 5 yards per play, which is fifth in the league. And they're second in yards allowed. They only allow 8.9 yards on completions, which is second as well. Yeah, Pacheco is a really good player. And – I think that this is just a more well-rounded team than we've seen before. This is still the champ. You know, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. I know this is Mahomes' first road game, but he had a pretty good road record in the AFC West. I want to say he went over 20 games plus without losing a game on the road in the AFC West. So I think that good travels anywhere, and I think that great can overcome traveling. So I consider this team great, and I think that they'll be ready to play. So I'll definitely have to take those 2.5 with Kansas City.
All right. Let's move into the ball and parlay. And my play is going to be in the main event of the evening here. I'm going to take the under when the Chiefs take on the Bills. The Chiefs are 13-5 to the under this year. The Bills 11-7 to the under this year. This is going to be a hard fought game in the element. And I can see both teams coming out a little bit conservative as no one wants to make that first crucial mistake. I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnovers leading to easy points. So even when these teams are scoring, I think they're going to be chewing up this clock. When the line was 44-47 this year, all three Chiefs games went under. Give me the under in the Bills Chiefs.
Spread sharp as usual. He likes the under on this one. I really, really can see that game panning out that way, especially with the way that both these defenses get after it. What you got for the ball and parlay, Cino?
I got to buck that bad again this week. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I just said I don't know why we bucked him last week. But we're going to fade Patty Mahomes and old Andy Reid, man. I'm taking the big Buffalo Bills. I'm riding with the Mafia at home, man. Moneyline, -145. Buffalo on the 6-game winning streak. I think they kind of got it figured out. It's going to be a real, real tough test for Patrick Mahomes on the road, man, when he used to playing at home and, you know, controlling his field.
All right, so you heard it here. Cino's booking the Head and Shoulders and State Farm spokesperson. The Pfizer spokesperson. Oh. And Taylor Swift from getting a chance to be in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. But best of luck. All right, man, I'm gonna do something new right there. I'm gonna give you guys a teaser, man. Shout out to my homie, you know, Dame. He's the teaser king. So he been having me looking at taking advantage of that way. You know, it's a lot of money to be made in teasers. If you can get points, get them. So we're gonna go with Tampa Bay, and I'm gonna add 6.5 to what Tampa Bay already is getting, and get them at 13.5. And then we're gonna also take the Green Bay Packers, and that's going to push them up to 17 points. So now we get Green Bay plus 17. We'll get the Bucks at 13.5 or 14, depending on where you catch them at. Put those two together for -130, what I think should be a really good opportunity to cash. So let's go with a teaser for my ball and parlay today, and that's going to be, once again, the Bucks plus the points, and we're also going to take the Packers. I really believe in Matt LaFleur. And put those two together. Let's make it shake. All right, guys. Episode 19 is in the books. Diese Nueve. So now we move forward in a new year, 2024. No more college football. The NFL road is coming to an end soon. Everybody be right here in Vegas. And you guys make sure to hit me up on X and let me know that you're here. Maybe we can have a drink or something. Up in Caesars or up in the Wind or up in Fine Blue, man. We love to interact with our guys that follow and that support the wagering world. Follow my guy Spread a Stare at Spread a Stare on X. Follow Cino Royale at Cino Royale. Follow me at 5-Star in Vegas. Spell out the 5. Hey guys, be looking for www.thewageringworld.com. It's coming soon. We're going to have all types of merch and really allow you to come into the world of the waging world. You're already a member. It's time to represent it when you go out and about on your daily tricks, man. As always, you can catch this on any podcast platform. We're there. We're also on the ESPN 97.5 page. Hey, this show is dedicated, like all of them are, to the greatest Houston sports fan I know to walk the earth. I know he'd be so proud right now, his Houston Texans. That's my father, John H. Lenz. I do this for you, Dad. Hey, guys, it's always us versus the machine. Oatmeal always beats no meal. This is the Wagering World.